good evening. This evening's reading is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 14. And this can be found on page 1196 of the Church Bibles. So 2 Timothy 2, starting at verse 14. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarrelling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the work of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be the instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will.
Some of the older ones here may remember Hudson Pope. He was a great Bible teacher, did a lot with young people. And he wrote a very good song, which I'd like us to use as an opening prayer. So let's pray. O Lord, show me yourself within your word. Show me myself and show me my Saviour, and make the book live to me. Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's a great danger that ministers, church leaders, are going to fall into a trap because of the virus, because of falling numbers in churches, that they'll do anything to try to keep the numbers up, to draw others into their fold. They feel that they've got to be constantly offering something new, new experiences, you know, new ways of doing things. And even worse, some tamper with God's priorities in order to gain a following. Their focus is on this life and not the next. And one thing we do need to remember, that affirmation is more important than innovation. Affirmation of what God wants people to know. So on your question or outline things, the first one I've put is teach. Teach what from this passage? Anyone not get it? Teach the word. The prime purpose of the church is to teach God's word. There are other bits. We've got to encourage people to obey God's word. Pastoral ministry is largely reminding people of what God has said, what God has done. You believe this, live this, keep doing this, because that pleases the Lord. I was looking at this, that verse in 2 Peter. Just look it up. It's very interesting. Just before Peter dies, crucified upside down, he writes his first and second letters. 2 Peter 1:12. What does Peter see his job as an apostle, even though he's going to die? Verse 12, 2 Peter 1:12. Everyone got it? Page number if you need it? Don't need it. Good. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. And then 15, I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you'll always be able to remember these things. You see, the Christian life is reminding people about God, what God has done and what he wants us to obey. Now, flick back to 2 Timothy, where we're focusing. Look at 2:14, our first verse. Keep reminding them. Keep reminding them what God's done. Now, what have we got to avoid? When I look back to my student days, I've become a Christian, and I used to try and persuade people that they really ought to become Christians. But unfortunately, sometimes these discussions became a little bit heated, and the problem was I never won anyone for Christ through a heated argument. Never worked. And I'm sure this is what Paul's saying here. Look at 14. Such arguments don't help. It actually can put people off the gospel. Some years ago, there was a heated discussion on a pleasure boat on the Clyde in Glasgow. And there's a group of church people who were in a little huddle and getting very heated. Apparently the word pertaineth kept coming out from this group. Or it doesn't pertaineth, it don't pertaineth. The problem being discussed was that a lady wore trousers going to church. And men's trousers at that. Exactly what that means, I don't know. But the trouble was, this argument was so inconsistent, because at least one man in the centre of this group was wearing a kilt. You know, we get down to such ridiculous detail, trifles, when the big problems are being overlooked. I was doing a conference in Poland, and the organiser took Rosie and I off to Auschwitz before taking us home. And as we did the last bit of the journey, he plucked up courage and said, "Look, would you mind giving a talk this evening to our whole church?" I said, "Well, what about?" He says, "Well, we're facing a split." Oh dear. What's the issue? Hats. The church elders are insisting that all the ladies who come to church must wear hats. I had 2 hours to prepare a talk on that. Fortunately, I knew that 1 Corinthians 10 came before 1 Corinthians 11, if that means something to you. The real trouble we've got as conservative evangelicals, we're very adept at making peripheral matters central and central matters peripheral. Now, Paul teaches us here, we've got to be clear what we're aiming towards and what we've got to avoid. So what have we got to prioritise in this passage? Look at 15 and 16. Both as ministers and responsible church members, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, someone that God is approved of. Do your utmost to do that. Rely on Christ all the time, but make his priorities your priorities. See, it's God's opinion that matters. Get his approval. But then we have to correctly handle the word of truth. Obviously, there's an inference that there are people around who are incorrectly handling the word of truth. That's the Bible. We've got to teach the Bible well, and this is why Christ Church was established as a Bible teaching centre to teach the word of truth. But the next thing we've got to be, we must be Christ-like. Our job has got to be to live our lives in such a way that when scrutinised, both by the Lord and other people, we won't be found coming short. We won't be embarrassed. Oh, sure, our work, how we've lived, will be shown on the day of judgment for what it is. I put down 1 Corinthians 3. It's very clear. All Christians will be assessed on how we've lived our lives. But it is possible now for us to live our lives and put a veneer on the outside, a gloss, that covers up what underneath, or can you see what it could be? Hay, wood, straw. Oh, that'll be burnt up. There's nothing there, nothing of substance. Timothy's destiny and my destiny and your destiny depends on our perspective. Are we aiming for God's approval? We can't live with a squint, you know, one eye on the world and one eye on Christ. I remember one of the first patients I saw when I was a surgical registrar. I'd just been appointed, my first day on full duty. And someone came in with a rotten, smelling leg. They'd got gas gangrene. And it had, in a matter of days, it had moved up to just below the knee. Now, there's no point in giving someone like that antibiotics or anything else. There's only one thing that could save their life. There was me as a very green registrar having to take this poor man to theatre and chopping his leg off just above the knee. Actually, he survived. I was quite surprised. The only possible treatment is that people need to hear the gospel, and sometimes it's radical. Now, here it says godless chatter. When we hear a bit of gossip, ask yourself, would Jesus approve of this? Is this helping to build up Christ's church? Is this the priority of Jesus in the Bible? You know, just flick back to the last bit of 1 Timothy. Look, 6:20. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. See, in Timothy's time, some people were teaching that you can enjoy the thrills of heaven now. You can enjoy the resurrection life now. But in our passage, can you see the two who were doing this? Hymenaeus and Philetus? Oh dear. Two church leaders, but they'd wandered down. They weren't teaching the scriptures properly. And they wandered down this path, emphasizing experiences instead of godliness. Trouble is that when people see their expectations not being fulfilled, they're praying for miracles now, and they're not answered. They're praying for healing, and God doesn't answer. They become disillusioned. And there's a very real risk they'll lose their faith. Today, people leave Bible teaching churches to go to ones with other emphases. Sometimes it's centres that push experiences. Other times it's churches that push a social work agenda. Our job, all of us, must be to ensure that people don't, look at verse 18, depart from the truth. Verse 15, we've got to be people who rightly handle the word of truth. And that word of truth will lead to godliness. So again, our job in Christchurch is to share the word of God with each other, in our home groups, in our sermons, just in our day-to-day encouragement to read the Bible. And if we do this, it'll encourage us to become more like Jesus, to be more godly. And it's hard work. 15? Is it? No, it's not 15, is it? No, sorry, yes it is. I'm in the wrong book. 2 Timothy 2. That's right, it is hard work. Do we really work hard at understanding the Bible? Are we finding ways to communicate it with people outside? Becoming like Jesus must be our priority, whatever else goes on around us. You've got this picture of a large building with writing engraved on a stone. So you've got a foundation stone with some... someone's chiselled out some writing. What is the foundation? What's this picture of this building? It's Christ embodied in his church. So God's solid foundation stands firm. It's a large house, verse 20. And then he quotes from the Bible, from Numbers 16. Now, this is quite interesting, because the story in Numbers 16 is the story of Korah. Do you remember the rebellion that went on then when Korah wanted to leave the leadership of Moses? They didn't think Moses was really up to it, and he and 250 people... wanted to go a different way. And in the morning the Lord will show you, Moses said, who belongs to him, who is holy. The Lord knows those who are his. See, the whole focus is in what are my motivation? Is it to be godly and to keep the word of God central? God knows those whose deepest concern is to live for God by living according to his word. The Lord knows your heart, he knows mine. Now, look at the next bit that's true for all Christians. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Now, that's interesting, because Christians are... we must confess Jesus at baptism, talking to friends, and amongst each other. But the words themselves are not enough. We've got to live it. We've got to be godly people. So holiness is the mark of a Christian. It comes from living in God's word. And frankly, if we're not concerned to live for God, to be as one approved, we're not yet Christians. That's the message of the Bible. Well, what is the secret of being useful? That's really 20 and 21. Do you notice something quite interesting here? 20 and 21... come between 19 and 22. All understood that? Just look on. The church has got all sorts of different people inside. There are some people who are just wonderful. They're like gold or silver. They're precious in God's sight. And Others of us are wood and clay. Some are value to God and he wants to use them, and others are just ordinary, dirty Christians. But look at 21. Whoever we are, those who cleanse themselves from the latter, from the dirtiness, will be instruments for special purposes. So if we really want to be useful for God, we need to clean up our lives, to make them holy. See, the key to usefulness is to know what we're running from, worldliness, what we're running to, the Lord in heaven, where we'll be judged, and who we're running with, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. See, our world is now full of hurting people. I don't know if you remember, many years ago, some of the older ones might, the song of John Lennon. Don't often hear John Lennon quoted at church, do we? One of the early songs, 1965, it's a single, John Lennon says, "I was subconsciously crying out for help." It's like a prayer. He needed, like all people, to be led. Look at 25 here. He needed to be led to a knowledge of the truth. The trouble is, no one did it. Listen to the words of this song. "When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anyone's help in any way. But now these days are gone. I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I've changed my mind and opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate your being round. Help me to get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? Now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to vanish in the haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?" Oh, where is the church when a man's hurting like that? His cry wasn't really answered by anyone. He went off to the Hindu world. He longed to know what life was really about. And we churches, we can drive young people into the arms of New Age mysticism. In fact, some churches actually encourage this, instead of to the Christ of Scripture. Today's pressures on young people are to reach the top, be number one, marry well, get well known, be a person of influence. But what does God want to see in each of us? Or 22. "Flee evil desires of youth, promiscuity, drugs, cheating, lying. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace." Now, this is hard work. We have to keep ourselves in check. That's why we need to be in close fellowships with like-minded Christians. It is a fascinating fact that when people want to live for the world, they will drift away from their Christian friends. Look at 22, the second bit of 22. "Along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." There it is. The word of God is meant to lead us to be holy people. Now he goes back to this point in 23. Yet, don't get into arguments, don't get into quarrels. No, we show love, kindness, and an ability to teach. We point people to the scriptures, the arguments for scriptures. I've just heard I was going to do a debate in London this week with a a man who called himself a satanic secularist, a Muslim and a Hindu down in London University, about the how our faith and science relate. I was really looking forward to it because I didn't think the others had much to say. But unfortunately, it's got cancelled. But what's important, if you've seen some of the John Lennox interviews, is how he comes across. With calmness, assurance, confidence. That's how the Christian servant of all of us. We mustn't be quarrelsome, 24. Be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed. So what stops people becoming Christians? It's a very good question today. Deep down, surely it's a refusal to change direction and allow God his rightful place in people's lives. Sure, it may well be that, well, it is true that we Christians are at fault. We haven't made it clear. If a person is not willing to repent and put God in his rightful place in their life, they can never grasp the truth about Jesus. Do you all know John 7:17? Is this part of your biblical vocabulary? If you don't, make a note and please learn it. Anyone who chooses, Jesus saying, anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. What's most important is that people decide, choose to do what God wants. If they do that, then everything will make sense. You know, friends who are unsure about Jesus, they want to argue. But look at, remember 2:25 in our chapter, or John 7:17. We've got to choose to do the will of God. Truth can only be revealed to someone who's contrite in heart. If they refuse to bend the knee to Jesus, they'll be entrapped by Satan. Do you remember Bolingbroke in Richard II? As Shakespeare said, he bent his knee before the king, but in his heart he was not really his servant. There's only two ways to go, either God's way or the God of this world's way. So, in summary, if we want to be used by God, we've got to take the message of Scripture seriously. We've got to make purity, holiness, our ambition. And we've got to be useful for Christ. Do everything we can to promote Christ by the way we live and what we say. We mustn't dabble with sin. We've got to flee it. Be ruthless. We've got to be intentional about it. Let me finish with, I think it's a lovely picture. Ships on the sea. Just imagine going out of harbour. Sailing ships. One ship goes east. Another goes west. By the self-same winds that blow. It's the set of the sails and not the gales which determine which way they go. So we've got to set our course to be men and women of the Bible. Men and women who are determined to follow it and be holy. And many men and women who are longing to share the Lord Jesus with people around us. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you very much that you are so clear in your word as to what matters. Please help us not to fiddle around with peripheral matters, but to insist that Jesus Christ entered this world, is the God who saves us, and he gives us his spirit to enable us to be holy and to represent him in this world. Lord, send us out, we pray, to do just this. Amen.